everybody. Welcome to Smoking Lounge, where we're burning through our opening jokes much too fast. Today I'm here with my friend Devin, as always.
Hello.
And that's it. No guest on today's show.
Yeah. How have you been?
I've been pretty good. Been working with your mom on and off now. Well, not with her, but at the same building. On and off for a bit.
That's cool.
It's something. And been doing that.
What have you
sleeping.
Been doing there?
Construction work. But it's just a temporary thing. Like it's.
I hope so. You're so skinny.
they're an engineering company. They have contracts with the government and a couple other companies and stuff like that. Like their main product is a box that has a couple different cameras in it that can detect poisonous gases from up to like 6 kilometers away or something.
Wow.
So they have a bunch of them littered all across the United States. Most of them are in like Utah and. Apparently most of the job of an engineer for the company, they haven't sold one of these things in years, but they make them and they own the patent on it, so anytime somebody who bought one years ago, like, it fucks up, they have to send somebody out to fix it. So that's probably what I'll be doing eventually, or something. That I have no qualifications, no experience, so they're not going to just make me an engineer and pay me as much as the other guys that went to college. So as they work that out, they're just giving me other work to do to help me out in the meantime. Like, hey, you know, one of our contractors is, you know, a little behind on this project, maybe you could help them out and get it done a little faster.
That's cool.
So it's just remodeling work in one section of the building and shit like that.
So did they find you, like, out front of a Home Depot?
Yeah.
Like, we need, like, 3 workers who know engineering on poisonous boxes.
Exactly. that was their pitch when they got out of the van. It was just a van with tinted windows.
Creepy.
And I was like, oh, okay.
All right.
All right. I know computer stuff, mister. And they threw me in the back of the van and brought me to the place with the, you know, the got the fucking, what's it called?
Hard hats?
No, Devin, no. like, the over my eyes, so I can't see where
blindfold?
The...
blindfold?
Blindfold. Thank you, Devin.
Still, Devin, idiot, hard hat. It's a piece of cloth that blinds me.
Oh,
what's
shit.
That called again? A blind cloth, of course. So I understand that you were actually brought in on a house call recently.
Yeah, kinda. I knew it was coming. It wasn't just I was on call, but the CEO of the company, Sherry, her and her husband Larry run it. I think Larry owns it and she's the CEO. But she does all of her work from home.
Right.
She doesn't have an office at the building. Probably just because she's older, she doesn't want to work there, and she's the boss, so she can do whatever the fuck she wants.
Yeah.
But she was having she was having trouble with Adobe on her computer, as she told me, and she needed me to come and fix it. And so I said, okay,
right.
You know, I can do something to, you know, prove I know my computers and how to work shit. I figured, like, she's going to have some big problem when I get there. So I get there, she brings me down to her basement where the computer's at, and she's like, okay, so I'm trying to get to this thing, and it's like a flight website, and the flash section of it isn't loading. And she's like, see, right there, it says I need flash 10.317 or higher, or something like that. So I just need to update it? She's like, I guess. I could have just told you how to do that over email. You don't have to pay me for this. She's like, well, no, I tried to do it before and I couldn't get it. So within like 2 or 3 minutes, I'm done. I just have to click an update button. And, well, there you go.
I think it's funny that these people are running the world. Adobe, how's that work? Computers.
She was using like AOL 9.5. It was
I didn't
fucking
even know
ridiculous.
AOL still existed.
And she had Firefox on the computer. And before I even updated AOL, Flash on AOL, I opened up Firefox, went to the website, it worked fine. And I wanted to just tell her, hey, you could just use Firefox. But I was like, no, she wants me to fix it, I'll fix it. She wants to use AOL. Download Flash. Done.
That's, oh my god.
Yeah. But now they want me to, their website is old. It looks like it was made in the, like, 90s. And that's what I told her. Yeah, she brought up the website, and she wanted me to take a look at the website because Larry had talked to me the day before about it.
Right.
Apparently there was a broken link somewhere in the website. That's it. Just one of the links didn't work. And he's like, I don't know how we're going to handle it.
Oh, God. We're going under.
The government wanted him.
We want you.
Because he was the best.
You're the best.
But there was a problem.
You can't take him.
And more.
Yeah,
Yes, we can.
What happens when the government's greatest agent runs and he finds...
Oh my god, it's a...
Alright guys, as you probably found out by this point, we're doing sketches in the show now. These are to cover up lazy edits like bad cuts and shit like that.
And mess ups with words.
Yeah. So instead of just throwing some of the stuff out that we normally would have kept, we're going to have it in, but with sketches and other silly shit to make the transition easy. Now, I know that even small changes like this are hard to get used to, but we've got your back, guys. We made a training video to help you transition into the process.
All right, rolling and action.
Deal with it. And then a couple months ago, that was like 6 years ago that I actually knew how to do that stuff.
Right.
And then a couple months ago, I went back to look at PHP just to see if I... Nope. Right. I looked at it, I was like, how the fuck did I ever do this?
Why are 12 years old.
Why are there so many money signs?
Dude, that shit, so many money signs.
That shit was so fucking easy to learn when you're younger. They should be teaching that shit in school. Like, teaching kids how to make video games. Something that they are interested in, but they could take the knowledge something to, you know, to a more practical job.
Actually, it's funny you brought that up. You know that website, Ted, that you showed me?
Yeah. Where,
The first video I ever watched, it was a British guy. He was actually real funny and entertaining to listen to. But he's talking about how he felt that traditional schools were destroying kids' creativity. Mm. It's like, you know,
I saw the same video. Yeah,
they give them papers and work to do, and it's like if you don't do well, then you fail. It's right. Like, well, how? You know, when you're a kid, you know, you don't have a problem saying something even if it's wrong because you don't care. You're very creative. But as time goes on, you get more self-conscious about what you're saying. You don't want to say something
stupid or wrong. Put up all these boxes. You put up all these walls. Sorry, go on.
I know exactly what you're saying, though. You know, you eventually just, as you grow up, you start narrowing yourself down. You're not as open as you used
completely.
To be. And he feels like the main problem is current school systems, and that's because it was they didn't actually have mandated schooling until like early 1900s. It's a fairly recent thing that they've done, and you know, it's a little over 100 years now, but honestly that's not that much time in the grand scheme of everything, and it's never been really reworked. They did it back in the 30s when people were fucking...
Now, back when they first started standardizing schooling, did they have, like, state-standardized tests like they do now, like the PSSAs and shit like that? Because that's...
I'm not
that's
sure,
like,
but that's one of the main problems with it.
Yeah,
so
that's
what
even
if it wasn't there at the beginning,
system.
It is now,
yeah.
And that's the problem. But like you said, why not ask a kid what he wants to do? You like, it doesn't even have to be, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because that's a terrible question to ask a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Because they have no fucking idea.
I didn't know what I wanted to do until I was like 19.
Yeah. I still don't know what the fuck I want to do.
Exactly. It's a very big question.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to just jump into something stupid that can keep us alive
right.
And hate ourselves for the rest of our
when
lives.
When you're younger, asking that kind of question, yeah, we look back and see it as a dumb question. But for a teacher asking a student, to them, I guess it's kind of more just getting us to think about the future, even if those thoughts that we're having as children aren't entirely realistic or doable.
Yeah, like,
it's just
I want
to
be an astronaut.
Exactly. I wanted
to be
an astronaut my entire childhood. That's what I wanted to do with my life.
I thought I wanted to be a president until I found out he wasn't a king. I can't do whatever I want. Fuck that,
Dad. And everybody's telling me you can do whatever you want. Your possibilities are endless, this, that, and the other. That's just how our society is now. Every child is unique and special, and they can do whatever the fuck they want.
That's a good thing to go with.
No, it's not. It's dumb. It sets people up for failure. And
why?
Just because it makes you think that you're something you're not. You should just teach kids, hey, you're nothing. You're another kid out of 5 million kids. Just fucking keep your nose down and get your work done.
Everyone is special. Everyone is individual, and everyone's got their abilities.
We have our individualities, but we're not really unique at all.
I disagree. Everyone.
Yeah, so do I. I don't even know why I said that. No, but it's a different kind of uniqueness. It's not the kind of uniqueness that's going to let you be a fucking astronaut or the president. It's something that's just more on a personal level. That doesn't help you get whatever you want in life.
That's an
unrealistic
why I think
thing
to
teach kids.
That's why I think that when they say, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up, that's a poorly worded question for a child.
How do you think they should say it?
They should be like, hey, Timmy, what do you like doing?
Yeah, what are you interested in?
Yeah,
just get it going.
Yeah, if you start to, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well,
yeah.
See, kids, like, I was watching this other video by that guy, Z Frank, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Steve Frank.
But he had a video with Rainn Wilson. They were talking about how the brain develops and everything. I knew this from a psychology class in high school.
Uh-huh.
But the brain of a child, it develops kind of like from the back forward. And the forward part of the brain, like the front part, that's where
critical thinking
about the future, right. Basically wisdom resides. That's why people that are older have that wisdom. Even an old person that doesn't have any real traditional knowledge or anything, old people can be really smart.
Yeah.
You know, that special window, like 60 to 80, unless something goes
before
wrong.
Before they go off the deep end.
Yeah, exactly. But see, kids, they don't have that. They don't have that forward thinking. So when you ask a kid what you want to be, you know, I want to go to the moon. I want to be president. Those are very, like, in fact, during that video that I mentioned from Ted, he said that, you know, like, when the kids are little, like, you know, 90% of them, that's just made up thing, but it was a really large percent say they want to be president.
Right.
And by the time they get to high school, it totally changes.
I think most of it has to do with context. When you're a kid, you don't have the context of reality. You live in the moment as a child.
Yeah.
That's fucking... I fucking so wish I could just go back to being in third grade, man. Life was so easy.
Right?
But they don't have context to their aspirations. They just see, this is something I enjoy, I want to do that. Or this is something I'm interested in, I want to do that. When you get older,
but see,
you realize...
I don't even think this is something I'm interested in. It's like, hey, the moon, I'd love to go there. Hey, the president,
yeah, going to the moon
is
something you're interested in. Being in charge of America is something you're interested in.
I think a child really... Like, when I was in third grade, I was really interested in video games.
Uh-huh.
I was really interested in cartoons and TV shows. If a kid says that he likes to watch TV, a teacher shouldn't be like, oh, you should be reading books or, you know, making the kid feel like an idiot.
Right.
They should be trying to gear that child... to do something to where maybe he could get into the field of television, maybe, you
or
know.
Just open them up to the possibilities.
Exactly, like when I don't think a kid a lot. Well, okay, I was gonna say I don't think a lot of kids want to be like a veterinarian, but I'm sure plenty do because they love animals.
Yeah,
but that's a good thing. If somebody
that's what my sister Adele wanted to be for years. I don't know if she does anymore. I don't think so, but for the longest time, because she fucking loved animals, she wanted to be a vet. I always tell her, Adele, that's stupid. You love animals. Why would you want to see them suffering? And, like, some nasty shit that vets get that they have to deal with. I love animals to death, and that's why I don't want to fucking go anywhere near a veterinarian's office.
Well, see, I think...
unless I'm taking care of my pet, you know.
But I think the thing with being a vet is you have a chance to help animals.
Absolutely.
By learning that stuff, you can make a little kid's dog... feel better when if you weren't there, it could have died.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, there are vets out there, but those little kids got to become vets because everyone's growing older, everyone's dying, everyone's retiring.
But it's the same thing with being like a surgeon or some other kind of doctor that has to deal with the nitty gritty. You just have to be able to disassociate yourself from your patient.
Yeah.
So I would think that somebody who really loves animals and, like, with all their hearts just fucking loves animals to death wouldn't be a very good veterinarian, just because whenever they see an animal, they see a cute little animal. A good veterinarian sees a patient, and that's it. They don't get it. They don't get involved
with
anything else.
I think with age, though, that can come. You can disassociate yourself, and then...
See, but that's just sad, then.
Well, being a doctor, I think, is a really sad thing around death constantly.
Yeah. I couldn't fucking handle it, man.
Me either.
But then again, 2 weeks ago, I would have told you I couldn't handle any amount of physical labor. I did fucking 10 hours in one day.
Yeah, people are really resilient, and I don't think we really understand what we can do until we're actually put in front of it.
Absolutely.
It's pretty, that's pretty interesting.
Both the body and mind are a lot stronger than we give them credit for.
Oh, yeah. But going back to the thing with the kids, I think that really... In schools, we shouldn't be worried about standardized testing. We shouldn't be...
See, but it's... Sorry to interrupt.
No.
But that's the whole fucking problem with our schooling system, is that they can't not be concerned about standardized testing. Because with the system that's in place, which is one that... It pretty much forces schools to teach to the test, which is the fucking... That's what causes all the problems with education, is that they're not actually trying to teach these children these things for retention or for... actually learning these things in a proper way. Like, everybody learns differently. You don't just get a textbook and say, do it this way, and that's how it's done.
Yeah. Our teacher, Miss Brady.
Yeah, that's not how it fucking works.
I don't
that's
remember anything that I didn't learn anything in that class.
Not at all.
I did well on the tests.
All I learned was that Miss Brady was a cunt.
Exactly.
But they teach to these tests because the schools that do well on the tests get more federal funding.
Yeah.
They need as much money as they can get, so in order to maximize funding, they have to do nothing but teach to the test.
Yeah.
And then they just put this fucking giant slant on the test that makes it so that even shitty kids get good grades because they need the money, and it's just making good kids look worse because they're on the same level as these shitty kids who are only getting good grades because there are a bunch of shitty kids.
Yeah.
Because they're not teaching these kids right.
Exactly, and you know, like, I noticed that when I got into high school, they tried to broaden it a little bit, but it was still too narrow. It was like, well, some people learn better through verbal things, some people learn better from reading, and some people learn better from, you know, the
like
third
pictures op. And
yeah, it's like, that's
visual learning.
That's still not enough, and as a child, I didn't realize that. When I was younger, I didn't realize that wasn't enough, but that's because kids don't know that. But I think if they were to reform how kids are taught, stop with the standardized testing. Stop trying to teach all this crap. Like, certain things are very important.
Yeah.
Math is important. I think science is important.
Yeah.
History is important, because those who don't learn from history live to
repeat it.
Yeah, repeat
you
it.
Can't just throw out a stupid little catchphrase to justify why a
it's
class
true,
is important.
Though.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Devin,
No.
I understand that history is important for certain reasons, but as far as, like, up against science and math goes, I don't need to know the past nearly as much as I need to know what 2 plus 2 is or why the moon goes around the
Earth. You think that now, but what happens when something that happened in the past starts to rehappen? Because a lot of people tend to, you know, think alike. I mean, I know I said earlier that people are really unique, but some people can be very similar from different times because of similar upbringings, this, that, and the other thing. You know, an intelligent person that's kept down his whole life will probably could really fuck up a civilization if he put all his time and effort into it. And it's a shame because that intelligence could be geared towards something good.
Yeah, something that benefits society.
Yeah, and one of the problems with schooling is I remember when I was in second grade, I told the story before on the podcast, I think, but, you know,
your teacher, shame on you.
Yeah, exactly, because I didn't understand a math problem. Now, that was because I wasn't paying attention enough in class. I was always off in my own little world.
Right.
But what if somebody had actually spent enough time to realize that I wasn't paying attention, and they decided to gear that that creativity into something different.
Right,
I started doing
doodles.
Yeah, I started doing better in school when I started paying attention. I did really well, but I was just sitting there doing fucking paper. You know, I was just filling out things that it didn't matter. Like, I didn't really learn things doing that. I just did the work so that it was out of the way so I could go to read or do whatever I wanted.
Do your own thing.
Exactly.
That's all it becomes when you get older and you have your own interests and shit you want to do. Schoolwork just becomes an obstacle.
Exactly.
You're not actually worried about learning it and, you know, being able to retain that information. You just want to be able to pass the test and then do your own thing.
Exactly. And see, I think that's what school, like, I hate it when I hear, like, places like, things like gym.
Oh.
I hated gym, but still. Gym, art,
I hated gym,
music.
But it was an easy credit.
Wow, yeah, it was for me, but then I was really self-conscious about myself, and I didn't want to change.
Did you ever have awkward gym boners, where you're in your gym pants, and it's so fucking obvious you got a boner?
No, I don't think so.
You can
I was,
say no, but I can see it in your eyes, Dan.
No, I'm trying to remember. The worst thing was, when I was in, like, 7th grade, I had, like, short shorts. I was like, oh, this is terrible. They make you sit on that stupid hardwood floor while they take attendance. And I was like, oh, God, I feel
your
like
balls
a
are just falling out of these short shorts.
I feel like a terrible fat ass. Like, that, it was like about the time of that picture. It was really upsetting. And I hated gym. Now, I shouldn't have had those problems. But all kids have their insecurities. There's no way around it. I became a stronger person for it, whatever you want to say. You know, but like, when I hear that those programs are taken out of certain schools, like, we didn't have that problem in Oxford, but, you know, I have heard that happens. That's upsetting, because...
Wait, they get rid of gym?
No. School cutbacks affect anything that's not, you know, the four major, you know, science.
I figured gym would be up there with the major ones. I think they'd, like, start cutting electives.
That,
maybe other school districts don't even have electives like Oxford did.
Yeah, we were actually, I remember in, like, 6th grade, somebody told us that we were, one of the reasons that our school district actually had a good bit of money because of the
PSSAs. We did good on that shit, man.
The PSSAs, but also another thing that goes into it is where you're at. Like inner city schools, they don't get a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we were in a very lucrative place or something.
I think it also has more a lot to do with like the amount of people that live in the area, like per capita.
Yeah.
Something, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, like, in a
like, inner
city
schools, I don't think a lot of students go to those schools. A lot of people that can afford it send their kids to any kind of private school, including, where did you go when you were younger?
Ambla Catholic. That wasn't inner city, though.
No, but what are those things called?
Catholic school?
Catholic school. Leave me alone. But, you know, like you have to pay, but it's affordable.
Yeah.
It's an affordable private school.
And it's actually a damn good education, because those schools are funded by attendance. They're funded by people who go there and their families, not by tax money. So they don't have to worry about the PSSAs and teach them to the test. They just try and teach you.
Yeah, and a lot of religious stuff in there, isn't it?
There's some. Not as much as you'd expect. They still had a good science program where they... I was only in fourth grade when we left.
They teach evolution?
I was just going to say, I don't know if we got into evolution, because I was only in fourth grade when we left, and we didn't get into evolution in public school until, like, seventh grade.
That's fair.
Or even later than that.
Yeah.
After I moved to Oxford,
seventh grade was all, like, chemicals and, like, chemistry and kind of stuff like that.
You might not have really gotten into evolution until high school.
And then I remember eighth grade was, like, astronomy.
Yeah.
And planets and stuff like that. You know,
I fucking
sound
love
waves.
Eighth grade science.
Oh my god, I know. I had such a cool teacher, Mr. Schaefer.
Same here.
Right?
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Mr. Schaefer was
the man. Oh my god.
Man.
I love. He was one of the teachers that actually taught things.
Yeah.
Like he would use movies in order to get his point across. He one time showed us.
And
point.
It worked.
Yeah, I know.
That dude used fucking Bill Nye the Science Guy to teach us so much shit.
That he also showed us a clip from Point Blank just to get a. He'd be like, this is what happens, okay, watch this part. And, like, when the main characters, he's, like, skydiving without a, he jumped out of a plane to go after the bad guy.
Uh-huh.
He was like, in reality, he would be blinded from all the G-force because he doesn't have goggles. And then when he hit the guy, he'd be like, he'd actually be suffering from internal bleeding and several broken bones. But this is the magic of Hollywood. It was like, I never thought about that as a kid, but, like, that, I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That probably would happen.
Uh-huh.
Like, almost definitely. Another thing that taught me a lot about physics is Dresden Files, actually. Because the whole magic system is based around physics.
Mm.
Like, it all counts. So, like... when, you know, the main character goes to do something with magic, it still has to abide by the laws of physics, and
right.
It's explained, so I understand it. I've learned a lot of things outside of school that I probably should have learned in school.
Most of the, like, useful stuff that I know I learned outside of school.
Exactly.
You know what they really need to start teaching in school?
What's that?
First off, programming, like I said earlier. Seriously, you get, like, third graders, start them out that young making video games.
Not
teaching
us how to fucking type
from
to some specific system.
For our generation, that was probably a good call, because a lot of kids around our age didn't really grow up with computers.
That's fair. Yeah.
So just learning how to type was very valuable skill.
I didn't
have.
Actually learn how to type until I got my own computer.
Really?
Yeah, because
I learned in school.
Well, I did, but you know,
not well
at all, because it was like, oh, if you type this fast enough, you get to see the animation, but I couldn't type it fast enough, so I got discouraged and I didn't want to do it. And then, like, as time went on, there were computer classes, so they had the covers on, so you couldn't look, so you had to.
Yeah.
And that helped a little bit, but honestly, I didn't start using a computer until I was a lot older than most people.
Wow.
I think that was actually kind of a benefit in many ways, because I'm not stuck to Facebook and all this other crap.
Right.
Which I'm really appreciative, because, like, I see my little brother, and he's on the computer all the time, and I'm like, oh, God, he says the worst shit. That's what happens when a little kid is...
too much internet.
Yeah, it has too much internet. Because, yeah, there's all this great stuff to it, but there's also all the shitty stuff. Actually, it's funny, I was telling my stepmom, I was like, you know, we should get Logan that Game Maker program.
Yeah.
And I was like, you should watch some tutorials and learn how to do it. Because if he started when he was young like that, he's like... I think he's 12 or 13.
Uh-huh.
He's still young, though. He's still in that age where if he starts doing it now, he could, by the time he's 16, who knows what he could be doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's taking an interest he has and directing it into something productive.
Yeah, focusing in that.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying with the... So now most third graders probably know how to type.
Yeah.
At least a little bit. you know, maybe give them a little bit of typing lessons in school, and then teach them how to make shit.
Yeah.
You teach them, you know, almost all kids are interested in video games at least to a degree. You tell them, hey, you're going to make your own video game and you can do whatever the hell you want with it, their ears are going to fucking perk up and they're going to pay attention to you.
Yeah.
What you have to say. So you start them off doing shit like that when they're young so that they grow into it. And even if they don't want to make games when they get older, they now have a basic understanding of programming languages, which can be taken to just about any other language that they want to do. And they can quickly learn the other ones and get a job anywhere doing programming. Fucking everybody's hiring programmers. That's a huge industry that people can get into.
Exactly.
So they need to teach that, and they need to teach finance. They need to teach kids how to not fuck around with their money. Too many people have ridiculous debt, and it seems like common sense to teach that shit to our next generation.
Right?
Like, look
I
at how
I still don't know how
up.
To write a check. they tried to teach it in a home ec class in fucking 8th grade or some shit, and, you know, it was like a project. It was like, write a check and for this thing, and then you put it all together. It's like, I don't remember any of that now, and I still don't use it. Yeah. Like, I
not
have
just
a,
shit like that, like budgeting.
I have a card for that.
Swipe, click. And then, like, budgeting and financing and shit like that, just how to handle your money. And,
well,
you know, yeah. And what makes a good bank, what makes a bad bank, what, you know, shit like that.
That's they stuff need to stop need talking to down to kids so much. It's like, this is A and this is lowercase A. It's like, teach kids real stuff. At that age, that's when they're gaining the most information, but we take it at such a slow pace because of that whole No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
So
you just got to teach them interesting stuff. Like, when they're young, you teach them how to cut the head off a goat. Maybe when they get a little bit older, you tell them how to fuck around with the entrails. By the time they're 18, they'll be doing full-fledged fucking goat executions to
and
God.
And then telling the future from it.
Exactly. That's all we need for our next generation to prosper, is goat sacrifices that tell the future. That's it. Huh?
Leviathan, no. Hitler.
Wait, where did Hitler come from? Hitler, get out of here.
But
you just gotta start them off young with shit they're actually interested in.
And the main thing with all this is... I forgot where I was going with that.
I think... I don't want to just go out and say I think all schooling should be privatized, because some people can't afford private schooling. And public school is the only option for them. But if it was privatized, we didn't have to worry about tax dollars and shit like that, that would fix the education system, at least fucking some of it, you know?
Exactly. I think that, you know, people see over in China and Japan and look at those kids and it's like, look at their test scores, look how smart they're getting. It's like, those kids have absolutely no lives.
Yeah.
They go to school and then come home just to go back out to school.
Yeah.
And then go home to sleep. That's no way to...
While they're sleeping.
And it's like, why are their suicide rates are so high? It's like, because they've never had a real life. They've been told their entire life that you got to learn all this stuff, and they just like, cram these kids down into where they're next to nothing. It's like, it's really sad.
Yeah, and they do schooling year-round. Like, they probably get a couple weeks here and there off.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know how
they
much,
might just fucking go to school from the day they're born until they're 23, for all I know. I don't fucking know, but...
But people can be so creative. I mean, the Wright brothers freaking worked at a bicycle shop and made the first airplane. People are...
And that was a very short time ago.
I know.
It's crazy. It is fucking insane.
Did you know that Neil Armstrong's astronaut suit had a piece of
I thought you were going to say something else.
No, his astronaut suit had a piece of cloth from the first airplane stitched into it.
Did you know that it has now been longer... between the time when we first landed on the moon to now, than when the first airplane was invented by the Wright brothers to us landing on the moon.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
Well, but in all
we
honesty,
made a huge jump in such a short time, and then we were just like, we're done.
Facebook.
Another thing like that is, you know, Cleopatra, the Egyptian, whatever the fuck. Her rule is closer in time to when dinosaurs were alive than it is to now.
Did you know that there's more time between a stegosaurus and a T-Rex than a T-Rex and us?
Nuh-uh.
It is, yeah. Because there's like three or so different periods of time that spanned millions of years that dinosaurs lived in.
What was it? Protozoic? I don't think that was dinosaurs. I don't know.
There was Jurassic, Triassic, and...
Triassic?
protozoic, I think.
Was protozoic dinosaurs?
Yeah, Tom just explained it to me the other day. He wanted to be an archaeologist or some shit like that.
That would
dinosaurs.
Be a pretty fucking
paleontologist,
cool job.
I think. Mm-hmm. And he still remembers all the dinosaur shit he learned when he was a kid. Like, really knowledgeable. He knows, he's like, one time we were playing that, what's that drinking game with the cards where you pick up a card and it's a different
role? King's Cup?
Yeah. It was the, you know, pick a topic and everyone's got a name. Someone picked dinosaurs and he said like something, it was like he could have been lying for all we know, but he wasn't. He said like some super scientific dinosaur and he was like, what the fuck is that? That wasn't in Land Before Time. But yeah, that there is another example of when kids learn things, they really learn things. Yeah. It's all based on individual interests.
Yeah.
And we need to stop trying to freaking just, you know, mold these kids into what we think they should be and let kids become what they want to be.
But looking at it like that, it's really hard to have a society that holds those ideals and still has an education system. Because with an education system, you have to
only because it hasn't been invented yet, though. Someone's got to create.
But how are you going to... How do you do that? How do you fucking make it so that school is completely customizable for each child? You have to have a set amount of teachers that teach these classes.
Actually, Mr. Schaefer, I remember one time he explained how he... when he was in school, he was in a different style of school.
Uh-huh.
I hope I remember this correctly. I'm pretty sure I got it pretty much down. You take up a paper and you say what you wanted to learn that day.
Right.
And then the teacher would look at it, sign it off, and then you went and you learned what you wanted to learn. You had to make sure that you got... The teacher made sure that you got the basics.
So there was only a set amount of things you could choose from.
I think it was something along those lines, because for like a week or two, he instigated his own program that was similar to it. He gave us a piece of paper. He's like, okay, before the end of the 2 weeks, you have to have all this stuff done. But you get to choose when you do it and who you do it with, and...
That's how you do it.
Yeah, like that's not quite as individual as
No, it's
I'm
still pretty
about,
rigid. It's still following this structure, but it's letting you change it around.
Exactly.
It at least makes them feel like they have some sort of participation.
Exactly. Like, the only problem I had with it was I didn't have a lot of friends in my particular class, so it was hard to find people I wanted to do stuff with. But, it was a unit of science that it was like sound or something like that, and I never understood sound very well. Mm. I mean, Bill Nye explained it to me, and I understood it for a little while, but it's pretty much gone.
As soon as the credits rolled, it went out the other ear.
No, I remembered it for the test, but then after that, I stopped caring because we moved on to something
else. Exactly. See, how do you fix that system? Because that's how it works. You learn something, and then as soon as you're tested for it, you clear that out of your head and make room for whatever else you're going to learn.
Throwaway tests. Why do we need them?
You got to grade kids somehow.
Why do kids have to be graded?
You got to know that they're making progress. How do you
do that?
Why
can't the teacher just see if they're making progress or not?
So that just becomes an issue of time. You only have so much time with these kids.
You got like 9 months.
Yeah, but unless kids are in school for 12 hours a day, a teacher doesn't have time to go to each individual student and, you know, talk about their progress.
You could see another thing is when I was in 8th grade, a lot of teachers liked to use reviewing games before tests. To see if the students understood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Turn the test into a game. Something that's fun. Like Jeopardy. Why not?
I could see it.
Make sure all the... If a kid's having... You know, not doing well in the Jeopardy game. Or you know, say the system. Kids are very easy to trick into learning. If they're having fun, they don't realize they're learning. Yeah. And then they learn more. They just gotta stop trying to be so rigid with all this stuff. I think everyone's looking at it through the eyes of an adult, whereas they should have a group of kids that are just picked out from random places, you know, like a very large scale of it, like like a focus group or whatever, you know, and try different systems to see how much a kid can learn without realizing that he's learning.
Right.
Like, as soon as you throw down a test in front of a kid, you know, it's like, I've got to remember everything now. I've got, you know... And some kids just don't take tests well.
Yeah.
That's understandable. There's a lot of pressure to that.
That's one of the things that makes IQ tests complete horseshit.
Yeah.
Because you could have the smartest guy on fucking Earth, but if he's a nervous test taker, you know, some people fucking just...
If
like Josh... he locks up when he's got to take a test, you know? I used to be in a couple classes with him where we'd have tests, and I'd see him just sitting there, doesn't know what the fuck to do, and I know that he knows that shit, but he just panics and locks up.
Yeah.
That's how some people are with tests, and it's a lot of pressure, like you were saying.
It's ridiculous, honestly, in my opinion.
There's got to be some other way to I don't want to say rank kids, because you don't necessarily have to put them up against each other, but there's got to be some other way to gauge progress definitively, rather than just, I think they're getting better. Because if it's up to a teacher to define what progress is for each individual student, they're just going to say, yeah, they're all making great progress. Give me a raise, you know?
That's true, but maybe we shouldn't be worried about whether or not they're making progress.
What?
Maybe we shouldn't be worried about whether or not.
Then what's the point of teaching them shit if we don't know that they're actually learning? But if we don't know that they're learning, it's just a waste of time.
What else are we gonna do with kids?
Learn that they're learning by giving them tests.
The problem is that the test is infallible. Is fallible.
It definitely is. But I think any form of measuring.
Stop measuring them. Let kids be kids. Teach them. If they get it, cool. If not. They don't, but, like, see, I think once...
Devin, I like your ideas, but they don't work.
I think once a kid, once kids grow up and get into high school, that's where teachers should start seeing if they... That's where the school system should really see if they've made any progress up to that point.
Okay, you could have a kid that just, at fourth grade, decides he's done with school. He's not going to pay any attention. Ah, they're not fucking testing me, giving me any grades anyway. I'll just, you know, slide along. And then he gets on to 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade because they never know to hold him back because they don't know that he's not making progress. Then suddenly he's in high school with the intellect of a 4th grader and he's completely out of his element.
No, because, see, what I was thinking was once you get to high school, that's where the teacher starts, that's where the system starts trying to figure out what individual kids want to do. You have different programs, like, let's say a class that's all contributed to... what's it called?
But what I'm saying is if you're not ranking those kids earlier in their life, then you don't know whether or not...
What are we ranking them by? Whether
you're
or not...
Not
they...
ranking. If you're not measuring their progress, but then you don't know that they're sufficient enough to move on to the next grade.
Yeah, but what are the systems that we're measuring them? A kid could be really great at math and suck at English. Does that mean he's stupid? No, it means he has one... Excelled. Yeah. He excelled at one thing, but not the other. Well, he needs a basic understanding of the one thing, but honestly, if he... Like, the world's greatest writer could totally suck at math. It wouldn't affect his ability to write, especially if he was, like, a fiction writer or something like that and was just writing creative stuff. He doesn't need to know, you know, how to do high-class algebra.
The world's greatest writer could suck at spelling and grammar and just get a good editor.
Exactly.
Like fucking Quentin Tarantino.
Exactly. See, what I'm thinking is that instead of... Because, no offense, but I think when you're thinking about this, you're still holding it to, like, well, we need to measure these kids...
In your system, you still have grades, right? To separate the kids into age groups. You have first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, up to eighth, and then high school.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're not measuring these kids' progress, right?
Okay.
Okay, so how do you know that they're able to go on to the next grade? How do you know that they're ready for that material? You can't teach each individual kid differently than the rest of them. You have to teach in a group. There's not enough hours in a day to teach all kids separately. Right. So if one kid is on a completely different and, you know, much lower skill level for math or English than the rest of the kids, he's not going to be able to keep up in next year's math or English class. They have to have that system in place at least just to know when to hold kids back to say, you need another year of this shit to figure it out.
See, I think the problem with that is when you do that to a kid, they just close up even more. I think holding a kid back is probably one of the worst things you could do.
It depends. Sometimes they need it.
So technically, they need it based on the system that we already have. See, hang on, let's
Devin,
say...
All I'm trying to say is... The only thing that they use to determine if they should hold a kid back or not is if they think they're going to be able to succeed in next year's class, if they're ready for that material.
Okay.
If you're not studying these kids' progress, then you don't know if they're what material they're ready for.
See, I understand that, but see, when they get to high school, you know how I went to the tech school?
Yeah.
I think that's what high school should be like.
Okay, you keep going to that, and I agree with you completely, but right now we have to work out grade school. What if somebody decides they don't want to pay attention and they just stop? And so that from 4th grade to 8th grade, they don't pay attention to a thing. They're just writing song lyrics and shit all fucking day. Okay. And then they get to high school, and they've instantly jumped up 5 grades to this material that they can't follow because they don't have any of the foundations.
See, no, but I'm not saying... See, the problem is I'm not looking at it as we teach kids history, math, science, English, all that stuff. I'm saying, you know, you teach that to them when they're young. Okay. But if they don't pay attention because they're not interested, and then they get to, like, high school, okay? That's when you find out what kids are interested in. Let's say there's some kid that, like you said, gave up on everything. But, like, after school, he likes to work on cars. Well, then you gear that interest into learning auto mechanics. Then that kid understands...
That's what college is for, Devin.
Why? So he can spend $5,000...
$5,000.
You can spend $80,000 to $400,000 to learn how to do something that they could start teaching him when he was younger. That way he can go straight into the workforce. My dad fucking sucked at school. He was a really messed up kid. Mm-hmm. You know, not like killing animals or anything.
Right.
But like he rebelled against everything because I guess he didn't have a dad, so that obviously took its toll.
Yeah.
But he, when he was young, he started working at a garage. Now he's the best mechanic I've ever seen. I've never seen him not be able to fix something. That's pretty much true for everyone in different fields. Everyone's got something that they're good at. If when they get to a certain age that you gear that in high school, if you gear that interest into something productive...
I don't disagree with that, but I also don't think that all people, like we were just talking about 10 minutes ago... A lot of people our age, me included, I still have no fucking idea what I want to do with my life.
Because your entire childhood, you were like, learn history, learn English, learn
math. No, but if when I got to high school, they were like, you're now going to decide what the rest of your life hinges on, what do you want to do? And then I decided, and then 3 years later, I realized, fuck this, I don't want to do this for the rest of my fucking life. Now I don't have something to fall back on, because I wasn't learning the basics of the other programs, because they let me choose to just focus all my energy on this. Again, it's a really good system in theory, but it just wouldn't work with real people. People change their minds so much. Once you get locked into that program, now you're only focusing on this thing that you were interested in, but if you change your mind, you're fucked.
That basically happened to me.
Okay, but you weren't just focusing on that. You had the tech school where you did all your culinary stuff,
yeah.
And then you came back to high school to learn the basics of English and math and history showed up.
And I use none of that in what I'm doing right now. Absolutely 0%. No,
but the point is you have the foundations in those topics so that if you needed to, if you did go to college for cooking or something like that, and you needed something to fall back on because you realized that's not what you want to do with your life. Now you at least have a basic understanding of these other things that'll help you get into other workforces.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When you were working with that construction, did anyone ask you when Hitler died? Or perhaps...
Yes, we actually did get into an extensive discussion about Hitler, as I do with most people I meet.
Okay. No, but like, those foundations, those four basic foundations, how often do they really come up in everyday life?
It's not that they come up in everyday life. It's that you can learn from those examples and use them in different ways. Like math. They teach you how to do these things by these formulas, and this is how you
math
do this.
Math is important. I'm not going to dispute that.
Okay, but the other stuff, too. Like, I don't know. I can't explain how it's going to help out with everything, but all of that knowledge condensed into your head is going to help you with something, whether you realize it or not. And if you allow children the ability to completely forego all of that education and just focus on what they're interested in, and then it turns out to be a crapshoot, you've set them up for a life of failure.
See, the problem, though, is that kids are already not paying attention in schools and everything, and then they don't even have the benefit of getting a chance to gear their interest into something productive.
Yeah, they do. In high school, earlier on, see, I don't think it's possible to completely change the way our education system works just because of how rooted it is in tax money and teach to the test and shit like that. All we need to figure out is how to get kids interested and how to actually teach them instead of just having them memorize shit. Memorization isn't learning, it's just memorizing.
Until it, like, fades away.
Yeah. Which is pretty damn fast for a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember the guy that made the fucking cotton Jin.
Oh crap, what was his name?
What was his name? See? I don't fucking know.
I'm gonna go out for a cigarette.
Alright, we're gonna take a quick break, guys. Go out for a smoke. Another Corellian rum.
You should really slow down, dude.
Hey, frack off, man. You're not my master.
Listen, we've all had rough weeks, dude. That Skywalker kid didn't go on a bender after he got his hand chopped off.
That Sith spawn lived a life of frelling luxury compared to my hell.
Frelling?
Some Bantha Poodoo nerf herder up at the space laundromat was about to give me change for my Corellian credits. Then he saw my lightsaber.
Damn.
Yeah, damn. Kicked me out. Said we don't serve your kind here. Anti-Jedi bastard. Alright, we're back.
Hey, guys.
So while we were out on that smoke break, Devin said something that I told him to put a lid on it until we got back in. Just one line that I thought we could jump off of. Go ahead then, Devin.
I think our economy should be based on entertainment.
Okay, now explain that. How would that work?
Okay, well, like you said, our economy now is based on war because, who'd you say? I
think it was Eisenhower, yeah.
Okay. Back when it was necessary, they had to put a lot of money and everything into making ammunition and stuff because we were in the middle of a war.
Right.
But he said not to if we let it get out of control, eventually we'll be relying on it and we'll need war in order to make money.
And so now we have the military-industrial complex that rules the nation.
Yeah. But if the economy's got to be based on something.
Yeah.
And, you know, war is an easy thing to get started. You just got to piss off another country enough, keep jabbing them with the stick until they want to do something about it. Yeah. And then,
until they attack you, yeah, so that you seem like the good guy.
Exactly.
Their ass. America's so good at that, man.
Yeah.
Fucking back at, Pearl Harbor. We made them do that, pretty right. much. Oh, you won't, fucking pussies. Come on. You're not going to do it.
Bitch.
I fucking dare you. And then they did it, and the president was like, what the fuck? What? We got to attack them now, guys. We got no choice.
I'm sorry about
it. Everybody, no, as soon as World War II started, America was like, oh, we don't want to get involved in that. But inside of America's head, America was like, we gotta get the fuck involved in that.
Yeah.
So they did just have to find a way in.
Exactly.
Get them to attack you, and the public's
on your side. It's obviously gotta be based on something.
Yeah.
Entertainment is a huge thing, though. That encompasses so much. And if all our focus was on that, everyone that works for those artillery things or whatever, you know, the people that make weapons and stuff.
Right.
If instead they were on a set of a show, and it, hang on, it's a small example.
Okay.
It doesn't have to
All
be
right.
a show. But it,
talk
if,
it out. Talk
if
it
everyone
out.
Were, if the bulk of the American people were working on something that dealt with entertainment, that doesn't hurt anybody for one, and it could employ people. It could become an ever expanding thing. Think how many people want to be, you know, would love to be a part of the show business.
I would imagine everybody, but there's not enough room. How do you make an industry that big? Then you have people making shit all the time instead of consuming it.
Well, no, because people that make TV shows watch TV.
People not as much as people that don't make TV shows.
Well, yeah,
I would
but,
imagine.
Obviously, but we need people that. We obviously need other things involved. You know, someone's got to grow the food. Someone's got to fix the things that we have. So you know, there's all this different stuff to it. Somebody that's not very creative and doesn't want to like write a TV show, they could be a repair. They could be manufacturers for cameras.
So Devin, this is already how everything works.
Yeah, but if it was focused on it, see it's
how.
No, I'm not trying to come up with a way to fix America.
We still have dollars?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not completely replacing... when you said that, I thought you meant that we would be replacing our current economical system with one that was based on entertainment completely. Like,
so what, you have to do a dance to buy a chicken?
Exactly,
no.
That's where I thought you were going with
no,
it.
No, that's retarded.
Not that exactly, but something...
That's completely ridiculous.
That's exactly why I told you, hey, save that for the podcast, this is gonna be good.
I'll set him up for the block. But no, but what I'm saying is that we focus our energy on something that's not killing people.
See, I don't think it's our economy's entirely focused on killing people. It's definitely a large chunk of it.
Yeah.
Like, the military-industrial complex pretty much controls a lot of the other industries, and you know, replacing it with something else would be beneficial, I would imagine. You can't really know for sure, but
I'm saying entertainment because, you know, I'm kind of trying to get into that field. So
right.
For me, it seems like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, and think of all the creative stuff that could be born if the bulk of the people were focused on it. If we didn't just have Hollywood that was making movies, but several cities making movies, we'd have so many,
yeah.
And people would go to see them because right now it's all like condensed. But imagine if like LA is the big movie people. But
yeah.
Think of New York and Chicago and all the Seattle, you know, cities.
Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
But I think that's kind of already happening at a slower pace, just with the advent of, like, streaming video online and cheap video cameras. Fucking every phone has a camera on it.
Exactly. It's already started.
Yeah.
I mean, YouTube is filled with people just making stuff for entertainment reasons.
And a lot of them make money off it. Some people make a fucking living off of YouTube.
Exactly. Think if instead of just a guy by himself making videos on YouTube making a living, he had an entire production team behind him, filled with all the different people that that go into making a show like Community,
right,
or Seinfeld, or any of those.
Where's all the money for this coming from?
The programs themselves.
Again, this is one of your ideas that is really good in theory, and I like how it sounds. I just don't think it would work so well in practice.
I understand that, like, that's kind of the problem with everything that works. Like, again, back to the education system, technically that works in theory, but there's a lot of practical problems. There's always going to be practical problems. The problem is not to ignore them, but to deal with them.
Yeah.
I can't think of every little thing that will come from, you know, focusing all our time and energy on entertainment rather than military.
Right.
I can't. I'm not only am I not smart enough, no one is. No one can see every little thing that could happen from changing to this.
Right.
There are big things that I'm missing, I'm sure. I just started thinking about it. But, like, if we did that, and it doesn't even have to be based on one thing. What if it was, like, you know, some of it was based on entertainment, other of it was based on actually building shit for, instead, you know, like, new things to make, not life easier, but progressing it. Like
right.
What if we had a whole group of people trying to make hovercrafts? That would be a lot more efficient than cars, to a degree. I mean,
any
car crash with a hover, you know, if, like, two hover cars crash into each other, they're plummeting quite a way. They probably ain't gonna survive.
It depends
that.
On if they're, like, hover cars or, like, flying cars. Because a hover car, I guess, would just be a little bit off the ground.
No, I was thinking more, like, up in the air.
Would that be a hover car?
No, a hover car would hover over. Fly.
Okay, fine. Yeah. A flying car, whatever. I've seen a prototype for this way back when. It was cool.
They did it on Mythbusters. They made a hover car, or a hover vehicle of some sort.
I saw a hover jet. Like, it had two giant fans.
It might have been in the same episode. Maybe it was like Jamie and Adam working on different stuff. I remember Adam's was just like a giant circular thing that he stood on.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Actually, I think that whole thing was, could they make a hovercraft based on the design off the internet?
Okay.
And it was like two giant fan propellers that were supposed to push up.
Right.
But anyway, what I'm saying is, entertainment, you know, that's kind of narrowing down, but maybe we need to stop putting all our eggs in one basket. Maybe we need to,
So far, what you've been saying up until you said that is,
okay,
let's take all of our eggs out of this basket and put them into this basket.
Now I'm changing my mind,
okay,
because I started thinking about it a little more. Maybe we should spread those eggs out. Instead of putting all our time into military, or, putting it all into entertainment.
Right.
We should divide and conquer. We should
That's exactly how society works.
Yeah, but in theory. In theory. but actually, in practice, we should actually, instead of putting all our money into this thing, spread it out. Put equal amount of money into everything.
So you want socialism?
Is that what socialism is?
Kinda.
Explain.
Not really.
Okay.
Somewhat. It's kind of like communism light.
Communism
is another thing.
That works in theory.
Yeah, it works very well in theory, but never.
But in practice, it can't work because everybody wants more than what they have.
Yeah.
And It's kind of a fundamental problem with people, I think.
Greed.
Yeah, it's shitty, but how do you defeat greed? How do you defeat a basic human nature?
You got people who have more money than they will ever spend in their life. More money than they're going to need for the next 5 generations of their family. Like, their great-great-great-great-grandkids aren't going to have to work a day in their life because they have this fortune built up. But they still want more. And they still fucking.
But some people with that much money do things. But
yeah, like Bill Gates.
That I was just about to bring up Bill Gates. How much money does he contribute to charity?
A lot. Him and his wife have a giant fucking charity that they give millions.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah. I wish more rich people were like that, because if they weren't focused on holding on to their own money, but instead trying to make the world better with it.
Yeah.
Fucking. Jesus. Who knows how great that could be.
But yeah, not only would it help improve shit directly just with the money that they're giving to things.
You know what we should do? Go ahead and make paper money, the money that we know is today, the entire world.
Right.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Okay.
New thing.
All right.
It rocks. It doesn't matter.
Okay, wait, what?
It doesn't matter what it is. Something to set everyone back to the same level.
Okay. So what will we use?
It doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter. It's a piece of paper.
But it does matter very much.
It matters because we've made it matter. Money does not matter anywhere else in the entire universe except this one little
rock.
But
the fact that we place power on it gives it that power. And
so we place the power somewhere else.
But then we'll just have the exact same situation.
In a couple hundred years.
So it's basically just hitting a reset button. There would be riots. There would be, like, countless deaths. People love their money.
The problem is, I think any radical change usually ends up.
That's why you don't make radical changes.
But then, how do you fix problems?
Over time.
Never works though.
Like Obamacare, kind of shitty right now, but it's laying the groundwork.
Foundation, yeah.
Yeah, for a
but
much
everyone
better
hates
healthcare.
It.
Oh yeah, because it's affecting them negatively right now. Yeah, they have higher premiums when they go to the doctors, shit like that. But it's setting up the foundations for what could be a better healthcare system than what we have.
Well, some lady starts to get greedy and tries to fucking, use some loophole in it to...
Which is going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. Damn it. It's depressing.
Yeah. You can't get rid of greed. It's impossible. You cannot get rid of greed. The best way to do shit is to make it so that greed is not an option where it would be detrimental. Like politics. Greed fucking destroyed politics because now you
have... Greed's always destroyed politics, though. Even back in the Roman times, there was fucking... what's the word? Corruption.
Corruption. That's what I was going to say next.
Good. There's been corrupt... Politics, in and of itself, is a shitty system.
Yeah.
But what other system do we have?
Really, all you gotta do is take money out of politics. Fucking fix all the problems with politics.
How do you take money out of politics when everything's based around money?
Well, you restrict corporations' contributions.
There'd be riots
to running
mates.
No,
there wouldn't.
Yeah, but like right now, corporations can just fucking funnel money to a candidate that they want to win, and just, if somebody has more money, they have a better chance because they have more advertising, their whole platform is bigger. They just funnel more money from all these different little super PACs, which are like organizations created to fund, politics is confusing as fuck, but they fund it however they can, and they just pump billions of dollars, however much.
How do you restrict that?
I don't know. It'd be very difficult to do, but it's the only way to take greed out of politics, at least on that level.
Yeah, I think everyone in politics should have, like, the lowest salaries ever.
Yeah. Well, they already have pretty low salaries. They just make a shitload of money by, like, trading stocks and having, like, backdoor deals or backroom deals behind closed doors, what is it, insider trading?
Yeah.
Mostly insider trading. So much insider. They tried to get rid of that shit, and all of Congress was like, no.
Yeah, exactly. That's the fucked up thing.
Yeah, in order to get rid of the greed, you have to pass laws with the people who are greedy currently in that situation.
Honestly, I think a lot of things should just... You know how, like, the presidential election system works. I did air quotes because, you know,
it doesn't
like,
work.
Yeah, it doesn't. You know, people like, you vote, but it's a pretend vote because the people that actually do it that you don't know,
nobody
the ones,
knows.
Yeah, they're the ones that make the real decision.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Not to mention, did you hear about how they proved that, I think it was during, for Bush's second election, that a large fucking number of the voting machines were rigged?
I didn't.
Yeah, they fucking proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt that these machines were rigged to change the vote as soon as they, you know, made the vote and then you leave and then the computer just changes it. One of the programmers for it actually went to court and gave a testimony, and he's like, yeah, they had me program something to change people's votes. Nothing happened. Nothing
fucking
happened.
Same thing with this NRA thing. As soon as it comes up, that one court case, I can't remember what it's called right now, but where the one guy killed the other guy because...
Zimmerman.
Okay. That just happened, right?
Yeah.
That sounds really familiar, so...
The guy that kills the black kid.
Yeah.
Had the Skittles and tea.
Yeah. The fucked up thing about that is that overshadowed the NRA thing on purpose. That's not that big a case.
People get killed fucking every day, but they publicize the fuck out of it so that they can hide other shit.
Exactly.
Like Bradley Manning. You know who that is?
No.
I know you don't keep up a whole lot, but there's been a lot of stuff about him, not really in mainstream media, because they don't want to talk about it.
Exactly.
You know what WikiLeaks is?
Yeah.
Okay, Bradley Manning was the guy that gave them
a shitload
of data a couple years ago. Yeah, he's been in prison without trial, just in, like, solitary for over, like, 2 years now, I think. Just a ridiculous amount of time.
Right.
His trial started during the Zimmerman trial. Not a fucking peep about it on any mainstream news outlets because they were doing the Zimmerman trial.
And
little unimportant thing to block out this fucking whistleblower, you know... That's something with the Obama administration, man. I know it's not all in his control, but that was one of his big things, was we're going to have more protection for whistleblowers. Now you have fucking Bradley Manning, who was a whistleblower. Now, I don't really agree with the way he did it. Like, a good whistleblower will take pertinent information, the shit that they know is important, and blow the whistle on it. Bradley Manning just took everything and sent it to WikiLeaks. Like, didn't even look through it. He was just like, here's all of the data I can get. Whereas Snowden, the guy that leaked the NSA stuff, he actually just leaked specific things and made sure that it wasn't damaging and, you know, took his time. That's what a whistleblower does.
Yeah.
But Obama's all talking about protection for whistleblowers. Now you got Bradley Manning, who's been in prison for however long now without trial, and I understand it goes by a different set of rules because he was in the military. They have their own court and their own kind of subset of laws that they have to follow, but either way, he's been...
None of they should get to defend him?
Who's that?
Tom Cruise
would be a fantastic... No, Devin.
You've never seen A Few Good Men?
No, I don't think so.
It's a courtroom movie about a military thing, and he's the defending.
Oh, what's his name? Is in that, right?
Kevin Bacon. And Jack Nicholson.
The only reason I know that movie exists is because you use it every single time you play 6 Degrees to Kevin Bacon.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Is it 6 Degrees? 4 Degrees? 6, 7, 8, 20 degrees?
6.
Either way. So he was all talking about protection for whistleblowers, and that shit happens with Bradley Manning. Now you got Edward Snowden, who Obama was talking about how we're not going to try and, you know, call down planes or anything to catch this guy. And then just last week it was revealed that the American government was trying to call down a plane coming from Moscow to take this guy out.
Of course.
I don't know. What can you do? What can you do? Who blows the whistle on, I don't know. Take it away, Devin.
Okay. See, I like rubbing alcohol because... Unlike the alcohol that you drink, it doesn't so much get you drunk as protect you from infections. It's also really nice if you, like, went swimming one time or something and, like, there was water in your ear, because, like, sometimes that stuff's not easy to get out, but you pour some rubbing alcohol in. Oh, wait, no, I think that's the other kind of alcohol. The point is, rubbing alcohol is still really nice. One time I saw my mom pour it on, like, mosquito bites or something, and I was like, holy crap, you can do that? Because... It's like, sometimes you just don't really realize all the uses of an item that you never used to begin with.
The end.
But one thing that I think is kind of you know, humanity's saving grace is the internet.
Oh.
Because that is, it's so easy. Like, the first bloodless coup in history took place less than a year ago over in, what was it, Syria?
I don't think that was bloodless.
No, there was a bloodless coup.
There was a lot of blood in Syria.
Maybe it wasn't
Syria. We were dropping bombs on them, like, every day.
Okay, maybe it wasn't Syria. I don't remember which country it was, but somebody over used the internet to...
Egypt?
Maybe.
There was still some bloodshed there, but I don't know if it was... Are you just talking about, like, bloodless from the protesters' point of view?
I think so.
All right, because I don't know if they attacked officers in Egypt, but I know the officers were attacking them and, like, hitting them with cars and shit.
That
fucked up.
But, like, the internet was used to protest, and they actually got somebody to resign that was president. And, you know, the thing with the internet is, like I know Congress, I don't, or, you know, whatever the, whoever the fuck it was. It gets so confusing. Like, they tried to teach us in school, but again, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
But anyway, they used the internet to get a president out of office, and... You know, I remember when they were passing all the laws about protesters, like, you can't protest, like, within 100 feet of any kind of officer or whatever. Eric was super pissed about it. And I was like, dude, they're saying that you can't come together as a giant physical group on, you know, the White House lawn.
Right.
But we have the internet. You can get so many more people's support.
Until the United States owns the internet and locks it down.
But, like...
Right now it's borderless, but they're trying to pass laws, man.
They're trying to, but what are the chances that's actually going to... I don't think...
Seriously? Chances are fucking high. Because what they do, they tried to introduce something like 3 years ago that didn't work at all because there was a huge uprising. And not a huge uprising, but people complaining about it on the internet and calling senators and shit like that. Yeah. So it didn't pass. Then they threw it at the end of some other bill, something completely unrelated. They're like, okay, here's what we're going to do with farming. They'll get this much money to create these crops, and then also we're going to censor the internet. And that didn't pass, but they're just going to keep doing it until it fucking passes. They're just going to cannibalize that bill and place it into whatever else they can until they have control over the internet. Because, as you were saying, the internet is the only hope for humanity. The government doesn't want us to have a hope for humanity, and they can make sure that we don't by locking it down.
So, are they going to go China on us?
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
That's what's going to happen, almost definitely. We're going to hold on to it for as long as we can, but the internet's only going to be open for so long.
I'm probably going to end up moving to Canada. I got better animation.
I don't even have better up there.
Why? Is it that bad up there, too?
No, but the internet situation is going to be the same. Even if you're not in America, most websites and internet businesses are run in America.
Fuck.
Yeah.
We'll make something new. We'll make the thing to replace the internet.
There's already people working on shit like that, on a, like, peer-to-peer connection. Like, you know how torrents work?
Yeah.
It connects you to other people who have that data and sends it through to you.
Yeah.
There is the Tor network. It's T-O-R. And it's kind of the internet, and it works the same way as torrents. Websites are seeded and leached, I guess, by different people, and it's how you get access to them. But they could, in order to run on that Tor network, you still have to have the infrastructure, which is owned by the ISPs, which the government can tell, okay, don't let anybody access the Tor network on these fiber lines, and they can just be like, all right. I don't know. That
Bill
might
Gates
be completely
save
false.
Us.
Yeah, come on, Bill Gates.
Use that money.
As soon as people who want the same things that we do have money to back up those thoughts, that's when shit's actually going to happen. Because right now, you know, people like us, we have good ideas. We got some shitty ideas too, without a doubt, but we got some good ideas that we can't do anything with because our current system is run on money entirely.
Yeah.
So unless you have enough to chip in, your idea isn't worth a fucking shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So as soon as somebody or a group of people, you know, has a shitload of money that they can throw away for political reasons, we might actually see some change. But it's just going to be feeding the beast that had that forced us to make that change to begin with.
I liked Ron Paul.
Ron Paul was all right.
He was better than Mitt Romney.
Anybody's better than Mitt Romney.
He's probably better than
Fucking, I would have rather had L. Ron Hubbard than Mitt Romney. That motherfucker. L. Ron Hubbard. As you know, I might have already talked about this on the podcast, I don't know, about how L. Ron Hubbard, before he created Scientology...
Talked about said, how the easiest way to make money was the
was to make a religion. Yeah.
And then like, he made a religion.
Easiest way to make money is make a religion. Hey guys, here's my new religion.
Maybe we should make a religion and start making money and then get into the government.
We could. Make a religion.
The Gospel of Connor and Devin will return.
Welcome to the Gospel of Connor and Devin. It's Connor here with my friend Devin.
Yeah. I don't know.
Doing his little gospel dance up there. Today we're going to bring you the word of our one God and Savior, Zulu. Now, Devin, how much do you love Zulu, brother?
Almost as much as I love Michael Jordan.
Almost as much as you love Michael Jordan. See, that's all Zulu needs. Because Zulu
encompasses all while being one.
He is Michael Jordan.
He is everyone.
As long as you love Michael Jordan.
He's you and you and you. I pointed straight at you.
All of you. Shit. I don't know.
Making your religions hard.
I give up. Zulu sounds like something out of Scientology, but I don't know if it is.
Oh, I got a kind of funny anecdote to tell.
About Scientology?
No. It's actually more about race.
Okay. Interested.
When I was a kid, my little sister had this friend. I can't remember what her name was, but she was a black American.
You can't remember your sister's name?
No, I can't remember the friend's name.
She was black American African? What?
I don't know the correct term anymore.
She's black.
Is it just black?
Just black. Okay. Yeah, most of the time, I bet they just get offended when people call them African-American. Because they're just fucking American.
Right?
Just call them black. Who fucking cares? We're white, they're black, fucking Mexicans are brown. I don't fucking know.
Might want to edit that part out. They're fucking brown.
I don't fucking know. This whole fucking political correctness.
I thought they were more orange, honestly.
Orange? Like Jersey Shore orange?
No, not Jersey Shore orange, but definitely
tan. They're tan.
Which is practically orange.
How about, hey, we're people? How about that?
Okay, but honestly, the color of her skin kind of does come up in this story.
Okay.
It's a story about race. I love everyone, though. Everyone's great, in my opinion. Especially you, and you, and you. But anyway.
Except for the Jews. No respect.
Anyway. So I remember that my little sister one time said that she didn't want to hang out with her anymore, and it was because of the color of her skin, and I didn't know where the hell that came from. But my stepmom was really pissed because she didn't want us growing up with those racial,
boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. She didn't want us to think that way because, you know, our family itself was devised of many different colors, creeds, and people.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry, so she brought us into a room one at a time and asked us who said it. She wanted to know.
Right.
We didn't know what the hell, I didn't say anything, Eric said he didn't say anything, this and the other thing, but then Libby said it was something Eric said. And for years, I did not know what he said to make Libby think this, but I remember my defense was, I don't have a problem with people of other colors. I love Michael Jordan. He's friends with Bugs Bunny. I was retarded.
That's funny.
But still,
did you actually think Bugs Bunny existed and he hung out with Michael Jordan?
I'm going to plead the fifth on this one. I was stupid as a kid. I thought Jim Carrey actually talked to animals. And when I saw Me, Myself, and Irene, I didn't understand where the monkey was. I thought I didn't understand that stuff to a kind of embarrassing age. I don't remember the actual number, but I was too old for
last year.
No. But then just the other day, we were talking about it, and Eric brought it up. And he said he was... My dad is from the South.
Oh.
So that brings... That brings a certain amount of
racial tension.
Yeah, racial things to the table. And when my dad is with my uncle, who is, you know, his older brother,
right,
he becomes almost a different person. It's kind of, it would make a pretty interesting character study, to say the least.
Uh-huh.
But apparently they were talking about some racial stuff. And Eric, being young, it was with my dad and my uncle, he said this. Yeah! He agreed with something they said.
What did they say?
He doesn't remember. He was just saying yeah to just feel like he was a part of the guys. But Libby was there, and she heard it, and being young and impressionable that she was, she told her friend that she didn't want to hang out with her anymore because of the color of her skin.
Right. She actually told her that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, now you see why my stepmom was so pissed.
That must have been heartbreaking for that little girl, man.
It was a difficult thing for everybody. Libby didn't actually feel that way, but she felt pressured to feel that way. Yeah. Well, she was like five.
Oh no, I understand. Kids say the darndest things. I'm not blaming it on her. I'm just saying that must have been a shitty day for that little black girl.
It was,
and her parents must have been pissed.
It was shitty for everybody.
Yeah,
because we need.
Yeah, but this is like. It must have been really shitty back when they had, you know, for black people when they were slaves. And you're like, no, it was shitty for us, too.
No, it sucked. No, because we were all in trouble for it, even though we didn't know who said what.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't know what Eric said for years, but I remembered that. And I was always kind of curious, but as time went on, I stopped caring.
Uh-huh.
But then he brought it up, and hearing that what he said was just yeah, that he just agreed with it, and it just snowballed into something like that. In a way, it's kind of funny, but it's also kind of like, wow, that's it. It opens up your eyes in a certain way. Like, it really makes you realize kids are really, really impressionable.
Incredibly, they're just
kids are retarded.
Yeah,
but
they're just like a brick of clay.
Yeah, exactly.
Mold it into whatever the fuck you want.
Poke it, and that holes that fingerprint's there forever.
Yeah,
unless it's not. You know, like if you fix it real quick, you can probably cover it up, but it's still gonna be there at least a little bit. Not saying my little sister's racist, but
everybody's a little racist. I mean, get real.
I think everyone see
to a point.
To get on the topic of race, actually.
Yeah, because we weren't already on the topic. Well, dude, it's weird where racism can come from. Sometimes little kids just grab it out of nowhere.
I know.
Like, my little sister, at one point, she was getting a doll, and there was a little white doll and a little black doll. And she's like, she was like 3 or 4. She's like, I don't like the chocolate one. So she got the vanilla doll. And that's how she referred to black people until she was like 8. Chocolate.
But see, I think one of the things about that is kids are young, and they're used to what they're used to.
Yeah. And they're so, they don't really mean what they're saying to the same effect that we do. They don't have the same context to it.
Exactly.
So when she's saying it's a chocolate person, it's just because they look like chocolate.
Exactly. It's the same color as a candy.
Yeah. There's no hatred behind it. She just doesn't want the chocolate one.
Exactly. But see, the problem is I think a lot of people can't take that at face value.
Yeah.
They read into it way too much on what kids are saying. Like you say, kids say the darndest things.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're saying. They still got that... they don't have any inhibition.
Yeah, We're just trying to piece the world together, man.
Exactly. So, but the problem is that I think people tend to blow things out of proportion a lot.
We're really good at that, us humans.
Oh, yeah.
We're fantastic at it.
It's crazy. like
terrorism? Blown so out of proportion. More people die per year of a refrigerator falling on them than from terrorism.
Except for 2001.
Yeah. Well, no, even then, I don't know the exact statistics, but... falling refrigerators are pretty damn dangerous, Devin.
They are, but how common are they?
I don't know.
As common as terrorism. But like
more people die drowning in swimming pools than terrorism.
Right? I remember there was this radio. I don't remember what it was, but there was a thing. It was like call in and answer what killed more people than shark attacks last year, and you win this this prize.
Right.
The shark attacks were 75 killed. The other thing was 105 people killed.
Okay.
Do you know what 105 people died from?
Water overdose.
No.
because that happens.
I know it does, but that's not what it was.
Okay, what was it then?
Coconuts falling on their head.
Coconuts.
Coconuts really? Falling on their head.
For real? 100 yeah. some people?
100 some people. Wow. People need to stop standing under those palm trees.
All right, so we got refrigerators falling on people. We got coconuts falling on people.
Pianos.
You know, pianos, obviously. Fucking,
grand pianos need to get up to those top floors somehow.
Yeah, and fucking, what is it? The, music break. Take it away, Devin. Do something. Alright, so I figured out the word I was trying to think of.
Cool.
Anvils.
Nice.
Falling anvils.
Yeah.
You got refrigerators.
That probably stopped back coconuts. In the 50s, but still, yeah.
It might still be a problem in certain areas of the world. I don't know.
How many steel mills are there?
How many coyotes are there that are being chased by hungry maniacs? It happens. So, we've got the fallen coconuts, the refrigerators, the pianos, the anvils. All these things fall on people and kill them. Devin, do you know what this means? Do you know what our number one enemy as humans that we need to go against is?
Gravity?
Gravity. We need a war on gravity, Devin. It's the only way to fix this problem.
You're right. We need to somehow change the rotation of the world in the opposite direction.
I think that would fix it.
What if that's really what gravity is? It's centrifugal force from the world spinning instead of the mass of the world drawing things in. Gravity is only a theory in and of itself. We can't.
Devin, that makes so much goddamn sense.
Are you being serious?
No,
right
I'm
now?
Being. With how fast the world spins, centrifugal force would explain it. How have I never even heard that as a theory? Like, they don't know what makes gravity work. It, again, as you said, it's just a theory. They just know it exists and that it pulls shit down. And that the bigger something is, the more gravity it has. But what if that's just... I don't know. Does size contribute to centrifugal force? Even if it doesn't, it's an interesting theory.
Well, does it?
I don't know.
I think it's more about the speed that something's spinning and how round it is. Like, yeah. I think if you spin a square really fast...
I don't know if roundness has much to do with it.
I imagine it would for aerodynamics. I think a spear could spin a lot faster than it. Like, if you took a square globe...
Oh, yeah, it could spin faster, but I don't know if... like, if you spin a square globe and a square globe... Or if you spin a cube and you spin a globe at the same speed, like, wind and
wind
friction...
Does the moon spin?
Yeah, I would imagine.
It probably spins at a lot slower rate.
Maybe.
If it did, then that would explain the less gravity on the moon rather than the fact that the moon's smaller.
I don't know. I think they have a concrete theory for why mass generates gravity and attracts other objects. But just thinking about that, the centrifugal force might even just contribute to how gravity works is an interesting theory. What the hell were we talking about?
I don't know.
Things falling on people.
Right, gravity.
Gravity.
You gotta kill it.
Yeah, how do we do that? What do we do to gravity?
I was thinking spinning the world the other direction would pretty much solve it. But it's see, if we didn't have any gravity, wouldn't we float up into the sky?
No, see, all we have to do is
go
get...
a roof.
We could get a roof, or everybody just ties a rope to their leg and then ties an anvil to the other side. See, but then nothing's holding the anvil down. I guess we'd have to root into the earth.
Like trees?
Like trees.
So everyone's tied to a tree.
Everybody is a tree.
What about deforestation?
Humans evolve into trees.
See, the problem is we gotta get rid of deforestation so we got enough trees to tie people to.
Not only that, but we have enough trees to be friends with when we become trees.
Exactly.
Eventually, because trees are the highest...
I'm pretty sure that's how it works. That's why else would we put people on the ground?
It doesn't make any sense unless you they become
grow into
trees.
A tree.
Exactly.
And in case you're in wood, that way when you grow up, you got wood around you. Yeah. Otherwise, you look weird. Like, all weird. Like, you ever see the inside of a tree? It's all white and fleshy.
Oh, fucked
like
up.
A person.
Yeah. But obviously, without a doubt, nobody can argue this whatsoever. Trees are the highest life form on Earth.
Probably.
Possibly in the galaxy. They've got their shit figured out. I've never seen trees going to war with each other. I've never seen trees suffering from...
They've lived hundreds of years.
Hell. Yeah, they live so much longer than humans. And they've always got enough food. They're not self-sustaining, but they have a system that sustains them. They figured it out with the... With the what's it called? The ecosystem. Right. Trees in the ecosystem, you know, they bargained. They worked it out. Okay, occasionally it'll rain. You'll give us water. You'll give us sun. And they got their shit figured out. Now they just sit there all day. Their food is delivered to them. They fucking probably talk telepathically. I don't know. They're obviously more advanced
this,
than we are.
This wife swap episode where a woman thought that she could literally bathe in the sun and gain nutrients from it.
Well, you do get nutrients from the sun.
No,
vitamin D.
She thought she could sustain her life.
Vitamin C, something.
By sitting in the sun.
Oh, see, that's retarded.
Yeah. And she's like, I still need food, but I hope one day I won't. Bitch, that's not how evolution works.
But I hope that one day I won't. It's like Troy in a community when Abed's being Troy.
I like football, but I don't. What do you think we should do with trash? Do you think the system we got now really makes much sense?
No. We're fucking ourselves over.
Are
hardcore.
We?
Yeah. We're fucked.
I know this sounds retarded. We should just send it into
space.
Send
it to the sun. We talked about this on the last podcast, I think.
No, I think we just talked about this last time we were hanging out with Josh and stuff.
Did we?
Yeah,
I don't know, but either way, we gotta get rid of it, and the space is endless.
Right,
just
burying it in the ground.
Yeah,
nuclear waste. He was like, we got a perfect system for getting rid of it. We bury it deep, deep, deep underground, where it's not our problem anymore.
Yeah, deep enough that it stops being our problem. It's fucking perfect. No, obviously the waste disposable we have now is no good. But
right?
How the fuck do we fix it? I mean,
other than
just sending it into space. That's
what's
like
wrong with
sending
it into space, though?
Then you got fucking...
It goes on infinitely.
But then you got galaxy littering, and then you're gonna have the fucking space cops breathing down your neck. Nobody wants to deal with space cops.
See, Connor, we don't know about any of that stuff, and two, ignorance is totally an excuse for breaking the law. I'm pretty sure if you don't know that you're accidentally killing someone, you get away with it.
100% of the time.
Yeah.
That's how the Zimmerman trial went.
I'm pretty sure that's how O.J. Simpson's trial went. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
This isn't my glove.
I didn't know that shooting him would kill him. Okay.
Dick Cheney got away with it. But like, honestly, why would he use a knife to kill someone? Why not?
Cool.
He's O.J. Simpson. Hire someone. You don't have to do it yourself.
That case was so fucking ridiculous. Johnny Cochran is the best lawyer ever. Yeah, was the fucking best lawyer to ever exist.
He's like, well, see, I know that he was found with the blood of the victim on his hands, and that there was a bloody knife in his car, and that his glove does fit, even though we're going to say it doesn't. But do you want to send a black man to prison when there's riots going on outside?
Just so much shit surrounding that case. Like
The Chewbacca defense.
Yeah, just the fact that, you know, you pour liquid on a glove, leather, you know, it'll get smaller. It can, you know,
yeah.
What is it? Constricts? I think that's the word I'm thinking of.
I think so.
So, you know, the blood on the glove is going to make it a smaller glove.
Yeah.
But the jury didn't think of that. And Johnny Cochran knew that he wasn't going to think of that. And he fucking used it to make the best legal defense ever made in the history of ever. If the glove does not fit, you must acquit.
Yeah,
that's fucking brilliant.
That's some Joe McHale shit right there.
He's like, you know, even though we found O.J. Simpson fleeing his court case, driving the opposite direction with a shitload of money and cash, a fake mustache, and his passport in his hand, it doesn't mean he did anything wrong.
Exactly. You see, the problem here is that there's riots going on outside, and I will tell them that you sound black man in prison.
He wrote a book.
If I did it, this is how I...
Yeah.
What? Why would he do that?
Because he can't get arrested for it now.
Yeah, double
even
jeopardy.
Even if he could have just walked out of that courtroom and been like, okay, so I did kill the bitch.
But a teacher told me that you can't try him for the same thing, but you could try it for the, you know, it's first degree and second degree.
No. First degree murder is when it's premeditated.
Right.
And you know, it's
obviously... What was he charged with? First degree or second degree?
Probably first degree.
Second degree is when it's out of the blue, right? Like, it just happens?
Yeah, second degree is when you did it, but you weren't planning on doing
it.
Yeah, like,
spur of the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Like buying shoes. One of those impulse buy items near the register.
Yeah. Shoes.
Oops. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was fucked up.
Everything about that trial just makes no fucking sense, but I love looking into it just to see how much a good lawyer can get you out of.
Oh, yeah.
If you got enough money, you're going free, period.
See, I honestly think, if we sent trash into the sun, what would go wrong?
The sun would get angry at you.
Yeah, the sun would almost definitely get angry at us, and we don't want
to. No, it would
sun.
Burn all that stuff to nothing. It would literally get rid of our problem.
And then it would spit it back at us in an angry rage. And it will be a firing ball of trash.
I'm being serious right now,
Brooklyn.
No,
so am I, Devin. Do you want to piss off the sun? Do you want to fucking push that button? How do you know?
Do you want to anger the sky god?
How do you know that the sun isn't sentient? Maybe it's a living being.
It's not.
How do you know?
It's a gaseous. It's a flaming ball of gas.
You're a flaming ball.
That
of
gas might can like
isn't
come
it crazy
together.
That gas can have fucking gravity?
Yeah, fucking Jupiter, man. I don't get it.
Can you even land on Jupiter?
I assume it's got, like, at least a metal core, but I would imagine it's way too fucking hot. Like, you're gonna die.
It's like, can you land on Saturn or Jupiter or,
Is Saturn a gas planet?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
Jupiter's just gas.
Yeah,
Jupiter's a giant
planet. See, I always thought it was like a balloon, and if you landed on it, you'd sink down. But,
no.
I guess, did we ever send a probe to Jupiter?
I know that we sent a probe to its moons, not to land on it, but I think it was the Voyager, either the first or the second one. Dude, what if humanity on Earth is just a result of humanity on Mars fucking up?
We're on the same path.
Yeah, and we're just gonna go back to Mars and fuck it up again.
Yeah.
Right, like, they don't know how life started, right?
Yeah.
Like, we know how life evolves and, you know, what it can turn into and... How, you know, what
Jesus.
We need to survive. What we need to survive and shit like that. But the one thing we don't know is how it started.
Right.
What if humans were on Mars fucking billions of years ago?
Right.
They had advanced societies, much more advanced than we are now because they were alive longer.
Yeah.
You know, these advanced societies, and they just fucked the shit out of that planet, drilled it to fuck, and just, you know, took all the resources and died off eventually. And then, you know, they still got single-cell organisms all around the planet from when they were prosperous. You know, you still got the lakes and shit. So a meteor comes out, hits Mars, takes off a chunk of it, you know, fucking maybe hits one of the rivers as it's going by. A bunch of those single-celled organisms stick onto that rock, and then it crashes into Earth. And now you have a new breeding ground for this life.
Right.
So humanity starts on Earth, and it's just a descendant of humanity on Mars.
Well, I think
well,
the main
lost
problem
everything
is that,
the game there.
That we're not green and we don't have antennas.
We are not green and we don't have antennas.
So
but maybe the ecosystem changes that.
Makes you less green?
Yeah.
That's possible.
Maybe, like, because we're further away from the sun or there's more oxygen.
Oxygen.
And we could have just not really needed the antennas after a while.
Yeah, we probably could have been a single cell organism and developed differently through evolution to a new planet, you know, learn to strive and survive in a new place and just developed completely differently.
Yeah. Or all this tan stuff could just be paint and we're really green underneath. I guess we'll never know. No, Devin, don't do that.
Stop it. How the hell did all the skin get on my arm? Anyway, what the hell are you doing? Put back on your skin. One of us is about to freak out.
Alright, guys, we're going to go out for another quick smoke break. Be back in a second.
I don't understand why, like, cats have to sleep so much. It's like, at night, it's always sleeping, and then it's like, oh, hey, I think I'll take a nap.
Lazy.
And then after that, I think I'll go and get some shut-eye, and then, like, I think maybe I'll get, like a nap or something. And then they call it, like, cat nap, and it's, like, more like sleep all the day. But see, it's funny, because cats don't like to be pet sometimes, especially around, like, their butthole. I don't really like to get you pet around my butthole.
Move on! Past the butthole!
Hi everyone, we're back.
We're back.
So, Connor, as you know, I'm going to school right now,
yeah.
Dart Institute of Philadelphia. And It's a pretty nice school. The best thing about it, though, really, is the teachers. That's really the saving grace of that school, because behind the scenes, that school sucks.
Yeah.
Fucking retarded all the time. But I'm always impressed by some of the teachers that I get, because they're really good, but they're very different styles of teaching, but mm-hmm. they still get across the point.
Right.
And this quarter just started a few weeks ago. And I had to take Introduction to Scripting. I have to take Introduction to Scripting, where we learn to HTML scripting for making websites.
You have to take that? That's a required course for an animation major?
I think so, because we're supposed to make a website for ourselves when we graduate that has our reel on. So
that makes
employers,
sense.
Yeah, we have to have a basic understanding. It's not like learn how to do all the website stuff,
right.
But we need to have a basic understanding. It might be an elective. I don't know. The schedule.
Either way,
is what,
you're in the class.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had this teacher, and when I first got there, he had the thickest Asian accent. I've only heard it from Asian restaurants, from real Asian people, like not people that like second generation, like straight off the boat or some shit.
Right.
And he's a really good teacher, even though there's this language barrier. Because like while he's talking, I can't. I usually get the gist of what he's saying, but I don't get all the little details. But upon recollection, I understand what he's talking
right.
about.
Did he move to America to teach?
I don't know. He doesn't talk about it.
Bet he's like third generation, grew up here with second generation parents that had no accent, and he's just fucking with all of it.
Yeah, like in the break room, he's like, hey, Jim. but like in class, he's like, and it's really funny because...
And you'll never know why it's really funny. Unfortunately... the last bit of this podcast was afflicted by whatever fucking stupid-ass audio issue has fucked up a couple of our other episodes. It only happens when we're recording out of the house. We record this episode at, Devin's mom's house. We've had that happen a couple times when we record at my brother Kenny's house, but whenever we record here, for some reason, that never fucking happens. I don't know if the microphone just doesn't like traveling, or... I don't know. But anyway... Thank you guys so much for listening to the Smoking Lounge. We really fucking love that we've actually got this small audience of people to listen to us talk about the stupid shit we do. It's a hell of a lot of fun, and we're going to keep doing it no matter what. So you don't have to support us, because we can live without it. But if you'd like to support us, if you like the show, and you want to help us out, there's a couple things you can do, and if you've been listening to the podcast from the beginning, you've heard me talk about this shit a couple times, just exit the episode now. But for the rest of you, if you want to help us out, you can rate us on iTunes. You can give us a review. That shit will take like 10 seconds of your time if you have an account on iTunes. It's really easy to do, and that helps out with the iTunes sorting algorithm thingy for podcasts. So that would be really cool. You could also just tell your friends about it. That's probably the biggest way to get new listeners, rather than trying to climb up the iTunes ranking thing. Just tell people about it. Get people interested. And also, if you guys want to email us anything, you can do that at smokingloungepodcast@gmail.com. Any questions, comments you want us to read on the air, that's the email address to send them to. Also, if you're looking for other podcasts to check out The Devil's Advocates at wearethedevilsadvocates.com. It's a fucking fantastic, very funny podcast. It used to be only a half hour long. Recently, they bumped it up to an hour per episode, and it's very entertaining. Great conversation. If you're into The Smoking Lounge, you're going to like those guys, too. Again, that's wearethedevilsadvocates.com. And then there's also Thunderbone Productions. That's another great podcast. You can find them on Facebook, Google Thunderbone Productions, and it'll be one of the first links. Or you can just go to our website, smokingloungepodcast.com, and click on the links up in the top right where it says Friends of the Smoking Lounge. You'll find links to both of those podcasts, so you can check them out, because again, if you're into the Smoking Lounge, chances are you're gonna like them too. So give them a listen. And yeah, I guess that's about it, guys. Thanks again for listening. We really appreciate it. Till next time.